Hello everyone, it's Pastor Rod Plummer here from Lifehouse Church in Tokyo, Japan. We're going to do a series on the seven motivational gifts in Romans 12. I believe we need to know and understand our motivation in life. Motivated people are happy people. People who are living out what God wants them to do will be happy and productive. And I believe that there's many things that we need to understand about gifts. So we're going to talk about the seven motivational gifts of Romans 12, which I'll mention in a moment, but today's message is called Seven Truths About God-Given Gifts. Now, there could be 100 truths, but I've had to bring them into this format. And I want you to know that as I'm a pastor and a man committed to helping people find their gifts, temperament, passion, and place in life. It's always been a passion of mine from the moment I became a Christian at the age of 19. And I went to a great church, and I read the Word of God. I was filled with wonder that I am a creation of God. I'm chosen by the Father. I'm gifted. I'm passionate. And I began to discover and explore and develop the gifts that God gave me at the age of 19. And I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that I had great people around and the Word of God. And even now as a pastor, we have this wonderful little resource called the Grow Course. And in there is actually an assessment of these seven motivational gifts. And if you're part of Lifehouse Church, I'd really encourage you to go onto our website and sign up for the Grow Course and do the, there's two assessments, one on temperament and one on the seven motivational gifts. So are you ready? We're about to start. You got your coffee. I've got my coffee ready. I'm ready to share with you seven truths about God-given gifts. We're going to read Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. This is our key verse for this series. There's seven gifts. We're going to talk about them all. You may not understand them right now, but we're going to understand them and be excited to recognize ourselves in some of these gifts. Here we go, Romans 12, 3 to 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, right thinking, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. For just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. Here's the seven gifts. You ready? If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is leading, do it diligently or quickly. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully or happily. These are the seven motivational gifts. Now, just before we go through the 7 points about gifts, I want to talk about the word motivation. It's a very popular word, and I wrote down some words I felt were in alignment with the word motivation. These are all powerful words. It's words like desire, inspiration, drive, energy, competence, achievement, success, excellence, aptitude, stimulus, trigger, catalyst, interest, reasons, godly ambition, initiative, work ethic, incentive, determination, never say die attitude, focus, which leads to purpose and life goals. Purpose. I love the old saying that Pastor Chris Hodges always says. It's a great one. He says that there's two important days in your life. One is your birthday, and the second one is when you know why you were born. That's called purpose. And I believe that by doing the Grow Course and by doing other great inspirational biblical studies, you will find purpose, and you will start to write your big life goals. These are my convictions. These are my life goals. It comes from, a lot of it comes from gifting and knowing where we fit with God. Now, I thought about the opposite of motivation, And this is why a lot of people, I believe, don't enjoy their job or are unsatisfied in life. A lot of it's to do with doing jobs that they are just not motivated. We call it demotivated. So with all these words, I added the word D. Here we go, or dis. So the English words disoriented in life. This is when we are not motivated, disoriented, disheartened, disinterested, dispassionate, depressed. Well, it's a bit different. Demotivated. No drive, no energy, and no goals. And this leads to no or little purpose in life and not understanding life goals. So this series is about discovery and investment. Discovery and what God gave you and made you to be, and investing in the very thing that will create purpose and life goals. I'm excited. So we've already listed the seven gifts. Let me say them again quickly: prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. And right now, as I read that, you're interested in some and not interested in others. But I want to tell you, as I explain them to you, you're going to be interested in a lot, if not all of them, for yourself, your spouse, your children, your work colleagues. This is not about judgment. It's about discovery and investment, realizing we are all so very different. But let me come to my seven truths. All right. All seven are very important, and I love teaching on giftings. Number one, all are good gifts. All of them are good gifts, chosen especially by our Father in heaven for us in our life. I want to tell you that I didn't lift up my little sheet here. Here we go. Seven motivational gifts, seven truths about God-given gifts. Number one, all the gifts are good. You know, in life, comparison is one of the most unproductive, unfruitful, depressing, demotivating things that we know about. You know, we've even got to manage our social media so much that we don't live out of either regret or comparison with someone else. And I actually think we need to have a social media philosophy for our own lives. It's not to put on other people. It's not legalism. But I think we need to know what motivates us and demotivates us as we look so much at social media. For example, we don't have to look at a lot of other people that we compare with. That's not helpful. It's just not helpful. They might be great people doing great things, but manage that, because we need to know that what God has given us and that our life is significant and full of purpose. I've got some scriptures for you about how God made us. Number one is Ephesians 1:4. It says, "For he chose us in him," talking about in Jesus, "he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love." What a beautiful scripture that before God created the planet, he created in concept, created you and me. We may not have been alive yet. There was no conception in our mother's womb yet, but God saw us ahead of time and he knew where we would live, who we are, our DNA. He'd know everything about us. It says he chose us in him to be blameless and holy. Now, the word holy is a misunderstood word. It just means special. You are special. God don't make no flops, said Mahalia Jackson, the great gospel singer. God don't make no mistakes. You are wonderful. You are gifted. You are purposed. You've got to believe that. He chose you in him before the creation of the world, friends. He chose you to do great things. Let's go on to Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork. We could stop there and just explain that word is a very unique word in the New Testament. It means poem. God raps over your life. You know, there you are, and you got this, and you got that, and it's amazing, and I love you, and you're great, and sorry about that. But the concept of God rapping or making a poem about you is pretty amazing. In Zephaniah, it says God sings over you. God speaks over you. In Hebrew poetry, the Old Testament poetry doesn't rhyme, but it has rhythm like a rap. Da, 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 da. So God has a poem over you. You're amazing and you're wonderful and God has great things for you. And do you believe it and do you receive it? And the concept of poetry is really important that we know that we're special. Now, this doesn't make us big heads. It just makes us sober-minded according to what we can do in life. Let me read on. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's poem, handicraft, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's a hole in the world that only we can fit into. There's a need in the world that only our gifts can answer. There is a call here, an eternal call to live out purpose and dreams. Jeremiah 29:11. This is our favorite verse in sharing the good news in Japan with people that don't know Jesus. They love this verse when they hear it. I love this verse. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This is God speaking. Now, God is not saying all of your plans I will bless. This is God saying, I know the plans I have ordained for you, and you have to discover and invest in the plans that I have for you. And that's where satisfaction and purpose comes from in life, discovering God's ways, God's gifting, God's plans, and saying, yes, Lord, here I am. Okay. And one more scripture on this point one, all are good gifts. James 1:17 says it so beautifully. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is secure and strong, and his plans are there. There's many scriptures we could say where God says, I will send my word, it will accomplish that which I have sent it. I think that's Isaiah 55. But here it says, every good and perfect gift, including the motivational gifts, is from God. And as we discover and accept it, we will be happy people. God the Father loves you. Okay, point number two is this. All the gifts given are for the common good, not just for you, but they're for other people. And this is where most great leadership teachers like John Maxwell and Zig Ziglar and some of the other Christian leaders, Dave Ramsey, many others talk about this concept that you've been given so much for other people. In fact, John Maxwell really, his central point of his life now that he's an older world teacher, when people say, what's the most important thing, John? What's the most important thing? And his answer is always around this issue of that you learn to serve other people with your gifts. You learn to give what you have and you'll be a very happy person. This is our point number two. All the gifts are given for the common good. And we read that in Romans chapter 12. It says, you know, don't think so high, verse 4, for each of us, has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Point number two is that we have gifts for the world, for the common good. Now, I know some gifts are very personal, maybe artists or scientists researching. But the thing is that we have a revelation that whatever I'm doing and whatever detail or whatever planning, whatever I'm doing is for this, but it's also for this. I do it for me and my family, but it's also for the world. I'm growing for me and satisfaction, but it's also to give. This is a happy soul. This is the happy soul that understands that I've been given gifts that are bigger than me. That's why I love the local church, because it's all about coming together. We're all different, and we're therefore something bigger than ourselves. I got this, you got that, and we put it together, and it's for the common good. One of my favorite scriptures as a pastor for the church is Psalm 100, verse 2. It just says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Anyone part of Lifehouse, you know my big thing is, come on, everyone, let's serve the Lord with gladness. And I say to my staff, I don't want anyone to say, I have to do this, or, you know, why are you doing that? Oh, I have to do it. I was told to do it. No, I want to hear people say, we get to do this, or I want to do this. And I say, what are you doing? And they're, oh, we're doing this. And there's excitement, there's motivation. That's a happy, happy church. Our serving teams are called dream teams. So I'm going to use the word dream team in a minute. To describe volunteer teams, serving teams, whatever you call it, we call it dream team. And I love that term. It's not the have to, but it is the want to. And that, again, that's why we have the Grow Course. If you're part of or thinking of being part of Lifehouse, really encourage you to get this. We have it on PDF, on a digital copy. as well. It's very simple. It's about our values, 4 points, and it really helps to be part of the whole. There's 4 points here about connect. A key word is connect. Four things: connect with God, connect with people, connect with church, and connect with your purpose. And as we connect with purpose, we do an assessment of these seven motivational gifts. Okay, so it's for the common good, and the happiest people share or have a revelation of sharing. Okay, number three point, all are grace gifts and are to be received with joy. Now, as I talk about these words, it starts to be a lot of words, but I want you to know there are three connected words in the original Greek language. New Testament written, all in Greek. It was the lingua franca of Jesus' day, was used right through the Greco-Roman world, right through Israel, right through Egypt, right through Babylon. It was the world language like English today. So as we read the New Testament, and it was also written in very easy Greek, very ordinary, marketplace, everyday language. I love that about God. He says, here's my word. It's in everyday language. But there's three words that are almost the same in the Greek. In English, they're very different. I'm sure in your language, they could be very different. But the three words that are very similar is gift, grace, and joy. They're a bundle of words, a group of three. I call them the group of three in the Greek. As I say them, you can hear the similarity. It's charis, charisma, and kairo. These three words are linked. And even in one of the verses, it says here in verse 6, Romans 12, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And let me say, as you use them, you're going to get joy. Gifts, grace, joy. It's a combo, a super combo. I'll have a combo, please. I'll have the gifts, grace, joy, life combo. Thank you, my Father in heaven. I'll have that. I'll understand that. It's the way it works. And I want you to know that charis is one of the most beautiful words in the history of the world. It's called the beautiful word in Greek. And I can't say it properly because I'm not a Greek person, but it's something like charis. It's not a hard k. It's a soft charis. Charis. And gift. And that's, sorry, that's grace. Charis. Charis. The word gift is from that. It's charisma. You hear the difference? Just a little ma. Charis, charisma. What is the ma? Well, in Greek, ma means made from. So when we get gifts, it's made from grace. Made from grace. Let's read the scripture again. It says, we have charisma according to the charis given to us. And it's going to lead to chairo, joy. These words are connected in life. I tell you, your little bits of grace from God, we call it DNA, we call it temperament, style, personality, physical features, everything about who we are. If we see it with thanksgiving, we're going to be full of joy. If we fight against who we are and say, I wish I was this, you know, I always wish I could sing, you know, I'm not a good singer. And don't even try. I love singing. I love praising the Lord, but I'm not a great singer. So we're not good at everything. There's no point in me saying, gee, I wish I was a singer. What the point is, I'm saying, well, what do I have? What do I develop? How can I help? And that will lead to joy. You see, if all my life I want to be a singer and can't, want to be an athlete and can't, I am frustrated. But if I want to be what I am and I know I'm good at it and I'm developing and people are blessed and there's financial reward in job and income for my family, then I am a satisfied and blessed man. Let me say it again. All grace gifts are to be received with joy. The three words, grace, gift, joy. Come on, we can do this. Number four is that our Lord Jesus had all these seven gifts in perfect levels. I've just written here, Jesus had all in perfect balance, and he is the only perfect man. We can't do all these seven things. We can't be all seven of these gifts. Don't even try. Just try and understand what your strengths are and go in that direction. It doesn't mean we don't do some of our weaknesses. It just means we're not going to make them our major life goals. Just wanted a scripture here about Jesus, our Lord Jesus, loved Jesus, saved us, forgiven us, healed us, puts gifts in us. Amazing. Hebrews 1:3, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. So Jesus is the representation of all the Father's plans in a human being. He is God, but he's also the representation of God on the earth. No one is like Jesus. I'm not growing to become Jesus, but the Spirit of God lives in me, and it says I'm becoming like Jesus more and more and more. Never become Jesus, but becoming more like Jesus. And one of the ways is understanding his ways. Understanding his way. So only one Jesus. Let's see our Jesus when we pray into giftings and church and business and families. We're praying to the perfect one who has all these gifts in perfect proportions. So point five of my seven is that we've got bits and pieces of the gifts. Some are strong, some are weak. And as you do the gift assessment course, no one will probably be a 10 or zero, like top or bottom in the gifts. There'll be a combination. But what you'll discover is there are some that are actually more, and they're the ones we're identifying as your God-given motivational gifts, and as we build into those. So none of us are going to be perfect, but we're going to learn and grow in our strength areas. And I've just put here a couple of little words. So we need discovery, and we need investment. Discovery in our gifts, investment in our gifts. So I'm going to talk about that all the way through this series. Whatever your motivational gift is, discover it and invest in it. Discover it, pray into it. Discover it and use it for you and the common good. I love a book by Malcolm Gladwell. I think it's called Blink. I might be mistaken, but in there he talks about how when people get to 10,000 hours of study, they become experts. And I love the teaching, and I've said it many times, but let me reframe it. 10,000 hours in what you should be investing in will lead to you being an expert. You see, if I spend 10,000 hours in an area I'm not really gifted at, or it's not going to be my future, it's called a hobby at best. At best, it's called a hobby. At worst, it's called wasting time or wasting years of my life investing in something that will not bring me fruit. Now, sometimes we're good at things, but it's not our motivational gift. For example, at high school, I was very good at maths. I won an award and went on to university and did not enjoy maths at all. I could do some of it, but I wasn't inspired. And I shifted across to languages and loved it. And I speak multiple languages, and I love to investigate languages, how it puts together. It's just a passion. It's a passion in my life. And 10,000 hours in a language will take me far down into that language or into, you understand? So maths, I was good, but not passionate. Yeah, okay. Languages, I'm pretty good and I'm passionate. That's the 10,000 hours. And if you put 10,000 hours into other things, it's called a hobby. And that's fine and great, but you need to understand it's probably not your life source, your income, and your major satisfaction in life. It's all good, but understand where it fits, especially if you're married with kids and you've only got so much time. What will I invest in? Of course, invest in your wife, husband, and your kids, of course. But I'm talking about gift discovery. Now, I want to read one scripture before I move on this. I've called it Discover and Develop the Bits and Pieces, DNA, that God has selected for you. DNA, love it. We understand the helix form, discovered, I think, in 1957. We understand genetics a lot more. I'm not a scientist, but I love science. And all those bits means billions of options. When my mother and my father's DNA came together, the sperm and the egg, and it formed immediately a DNA. Millions or billions of parts, I'm not too sure, but that's me. That's who I am, And your mum and dad came together, sperm and egg, no matter what the circumstances of that were, you are wanted, you are desired, you are designed, you are needed, you have the DNA that God wants you to have. Okay, but I also want to read scripture here in the book of Acts. In the early church, the church was growing, but there was a problem between races, and it was a racial problem. It's a big problem. And this is what they did. It says in Acts 6:2, so the 12 apostles gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, please understand that one is not better than the other, but these disciples recognized they couldn't solve this racial problem on their own. They needed some business leaders, and some of the people they chose had Greek names from different groupings. They were wise. They chose people from different races and different backgrounds, and they said, you love Jesus, now solve this problem. And it was solved. And the Bible says, as a result, many more came to know Jesus. And I love that. It's not that your role is, I'm so important, I do prayer and the word. That's not the spirit here. The spirit here is, we need to do this, and we need to find people to do this, and it's going to fit together as a perfect plan, and the church kept growing. And I love that in life, that you don't have to be good at everything, and in fact, you can't. So for me, I'm a visionary. I'm a visual person. I'm a big picture person. I need one of the gifts. I'm not going to tell you which one. It's one of the 7. I need one of those gifted people to be around me in my team constantly to help me put details on. I think the old term is to put wheels on the plan. I got the plan. I don't know how to put the wheels on it. I don't know how to put the function processes. I don't know how to complete the plan. I need other people in the plan. So it doesn't mean I'm better than them being the visionary. It just means this is my part, but without them, nothing would happen. This is perfect planning. And in fact, my wife is very much a put the wheels on it, Rod. So we're a great partnership and have been all through our 35 years now of marriage, 35 years loving being married to Viviana, amazing woman. So whatever it is, you've got to realize that there's strengths and weaknesses. Develop your strength. Number 6, I've got 7. Number 6 is use of your gift will lead to fruitfulness and satisfaction and prosperity. Now, as I mentioned the word prosperity, it's a little bit controversial, although it's a very big Bible word. So I looked it up in the Greek, and what it means is a good journey. And I think that just solves all the problems. So if you're worried about the word prosperity, it means God's good journey for my life. God's good journey, prosperity. In the Greek, it's eudoreo, I think it is. Good road, good journey. I'll look it up later and correct myself if I'm wrong. But I know it comes from those two words, a good journey. Every time you see the word prosperity in the New Testament, it means God's good journey for your life. Old Testament, it's God's good journey as well. And so let me just read one scripture. John 15:16, the first part says, Jesus speaking, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's prosperity. That's blessing right there. Usage of these gifts that God gave us leads to fruitfulness and satisfaction and godly prosperity, good journey. For me, as a young Christian, I learned at church a lot of things. I love to put the chairs out, and I love to do a lot of serving things. And through that, I realized that I was very good at trends and people movement and environments. And before long, I became a salesperson and a marketing person before I became a pastor. I learned a lot of my people skills in church. I learned that I like to teach. I like to coach. I like to see people advance. I like I like teaching. I think I said that. So I'm so motivated to say it again. And I like teaching. And I like study of God's word and understanding patterns, and still do. So even though I'm 61 years old, I'm just as motivated right now as I was always motivated in the same areas. So for me, Jesus would say, Rod, you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and teach and train and coach people and make sure it's fruit that will last. And he would say to you the same in the area of research or investments or design or planning, whatever it is, use your motivational gift. Jesus said, I chose you, I appointed you that you might go in that area and bear fruit in that area, and that fruit's going to last. And my last point today is use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Matthew 28, Jesus tells a parable. It's a long parable. I'm just going to give you the end. There was three guys. Two of them did what the master said and used their gift from the master. The last one did not use his gift at all. And at the end of days, he brings it back and says, here is your gift. I give it back. There's no improvement. There's no increase. Here it is. And this is the words of the parable. This is the king speaking to that person. Matthew 25, verse 28 to 30. Take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has been given more, they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I don't know what you think about that, but to me, the thing is use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. So as I finish, I want to say, as we come to this series on the seven motivational gifts, you're going to be motivated. You're going to be interested. Even if the gift we're looking at is not you, you're going to be, yeah, I know that person, or I get that, or you'll see the whole pattern, the common good, and there's some gifts that are just going to yell out at you, that's you, or you've got some of that, or your wife has some of that, your husband has some of that, your kids have some of that. These gifts are going to motivate you. They're going to inspire you, and it's going to be so amazing. I really believe it with all my heart. God bless you all. Bye-bye.